Welcome to Featured Creatures.
I may be Alan.
I'm certainly Alex.
And I'm a possibly extinct living fossil of a pangolin.
Oh boy.
El pangolino.
Yeah.
That's Spanish for the pangolino.
There is a line from that 70s show that has just stuck with me forever.
Yeah.
It's an El Camino, Jackie. It's Spanish for the Camino.
That's funny.
Good times.
The 70s so what's up? So far away when we saw that show.
Right?
I miss the 70s like so much.
Years ago.
Well, I think...
Jeffin was there, so...
He 100% was.
I'm sort of still there. It's actually kind of complicated.
I think the 70s was as far away from the premiere of that 70s show as the 90s were from that 90s show.
Oh, yeah. Or even just 8th grade.
Or even as far as 8th grade. Yeah, I kind of exist all times, all at the same time. It's kind of hard to keep everything straight.
Well, that's why you lie all the time.
Okay, we have to get started because I just read a thing on this article that made me fucking... My brain skip a beat.
Your brain skipped a beat.
Yeah. So today's featured creature is the VO. V-E-O.
Can you use that in a sentence?
Well, first, let me get you a description of this. It's about a pangolin that's the size of a horse.
You sure it's not the VO?
It might be the VO. It is Indonesian, and I don't know.
It's the BAO.
Scott BAO?
The one and only.
He's a pangolin?
He gives people pink eye.
Oh, no, that is a pangolin move.
It's a maximum pangolin.
The cryptid was first reported on the Indonesian island of Rinca or Rintja. There's two pronunciations here.
Is that Rintia?
No.
Okay.
One of the lesser Sunda islands. It is described as a large animal comparable to a gigantic pangolin, and some cryptozoologists identify it with the Pleistocene pangolin Manis paleojavinsa.
Okay. Manis paleojavinsa.
Yeah, just
it's from Java.
An old, like, 9 foot long, like, extinct pangolin.
Okay, but I mean, so there's actually a 9 foot, there's like a fossil record of this 9 foot pangolin.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're nine pangolin. Feet long, as tall as a horse.
That's pretty incredible.
Well, this one is different. This one's as big as a horse.
Did it also have giant ants that live in its armor?
No.
Okay, well, that's
the VO
significantly
first,
less interesting.
The VO was first... it has a stand where it freezes time and dumps anything, like road rollers on you.
I see. It freezes time.
Yeah.
I see. It's VO Vrando.
Yeah. It's a vampire.
It's a 9 foot long vampiric pangolin.
The fossil one is 9 foot long. This one's like 10 foot long. This one's bigger.
Okay, well, look, I feel like we're splitting hairs here, but hypothetically.
We're splitting chitinous scales here.
It's in, you know, 8+ foot long, give or take.
The VO pangolin was first described by the French naturalist Pierre Pfeiffer. I like how this article just gives his lifespan of 1927 to 2016.
Wow.
He took part in... Okay, I had to double check this, that it wasn't... That it was a year and not just like a number. He took part in a 1956 animal collecting expedition to Borneo and the islands of Komodo National Park, including Rinca. In his narrative of the expedition, Bivouacs a Borneo... from 1963, Pfeiffer wrote that the elderly Rinca hunter who claimed to have once seen a VO described the animal in detail. Although Pfeiffer was skeptical, he intended to bag a specimen if he came across one, which he never did.
See, I'm just going to grab this guy 10 feet long. No problem. No big deal. Just roll him up like an armadillo.
Roll it back in the shipping container.
Well, that's why the pangolin and armadillo are the natural enemy of the, you know, the alligator. They're built to roll with it. They have no choice.
The fucking foot on that one. Like the turn at the end of that video where the gator just got his foot removed. Like, seriously? You fucking at? Like, Steve.
That's why I can't
just
tell
goes
which
back
one
in there.
Which one of them is us?
Honestly, all of them checks out at the same time.
I'm definitely the one eating the dirt thinking it's the chicken.
Okay, see, that's what I thought. I thought Garrett's the innocent one. Who has already lost an arm. Stefan's the one that loses the hand, and I just go, oh, whoa, there it is. Oh, roll time.
I'm the one throwing the chicken. Come on.
No. We're all gators here.
You don't think that's a gator throwing the chicken?
No, we see the person.
Come on. I mean, you see what you believe to be a person. That's all I'm saying.
When the translation of Pfeiffer's account was sent to Czech cryptozoologist Jaroslav Mares during the 1990s, he made inquiries into the Indonesian friend and found that the via was still spoken of on Rinsa. Mares' description differed a little from that of Pfeiffer. As of 1998, one of Mares' colleagues was planning an expedition to Rinsa in search of the VO.
You know what? It'd make me really happy if this was like everywhere.
These are real cryptozoologists taking this shit seriously.
No, but I mean like real here. Like, I want to know there's the big happy pangolin that just like watches over the San Gabriel Mountains. That'd make me happy.
That would be great.
Just benevolent. Just waves like a sloth.
A big happy pangolin.
Yeah.
It has like a cartoon smile.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, well, the sloths do that. They get all happy face and they wave at you all slow. I want the pangolin to do that.
Okay. Well, you know, when you phrase it like that, I agree, actually.
Because if it was murderous, it would have a body count. We would know.
Yeah. the VO is allegedly a very large animal, around the size of a horse, or at least 10 feet long, with a lengthy head. Hell yeah. Its back is covered
mushroom tip.
Its back
bell
is
end.
Its back is covered in scales, which overlap one another like roofing tiles. But its underside, head, throat, and tail tip are unarmored and hairy. Its feet are armed with very large claws, and when threatened, it'll rear up onto its hind legs and use these claws for slashing. A nocturnal animal, it is said to remain in the highlands during the day, but comes down to the coastal mangrove forest at nightfall to feed on crabs, shellfish, and other small marine organisms washed up by the sea. It ate Trunco.
No.
Its primary source of food is lobsters.
However, according to Mares, its diet mainly consists of termites and ants. Its call, sometimes heard at dusk, is rendered, hoo-hoo-hoo.
Are you sure it doesn't go yoo-hoo?
I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure it's right. Okay. Here it says parentheses H-O-O hyphen H-O-O hyphen H-O-O.
Several invisible Y's going on. You don't see them, but you do pronounce them.
Hold on. This guy, let's see, is Czech. How do you say hoo-hoo-hoo with a Czech accent?
I don't know. I only know off the top of my head of one person who speaks with a Czech accent, and I think they would just say yoo-hoo. I don't know.
Pfeiffer's local informant claimed that he had seen one, a VO at an unstated date in the past, in company with a policeman from La Babauja on Flores.
La Babauja.
Yeah, that sounds about right. The man allegedly encountered it while hunting during the night in the vicinity of Loho Bujai. Bauji?
I mean, that sounds authentic to me.
And they were so afraid that they threw themselves on the ground and remained still, watching the animal until it moved off. Yeah, I don't know. I might be a little afraid if I, in the like dark jungle, just came across a horse-sized pangolin, an armored, like clawed killing machine.
That goes, yoo-hoo.
Yeah, I would be very concerned.
And now we are.
What if it did that in the caves it made too?
Those giant ground sloths in their fucking caves.
You just hear yoo-hoo echoing everywhere, and you just don't know. And you go, "Oh no, it's too late."
It's all around us. Okay, here's the sentence I needed to read. Pfeiffer initially suggested to his informant that the VO was a dugong. Parentheses dugong dugong. A theory described as bizarre by Carl Schuker.
I agree. That is the most unreasonable explanation I've ever heard. Like, you could... Almost anything else is more like... Like, how do you confuse a dugong with a penguin? Sorry, a pangolin.
Bazaar by Carl Schuker, in light of the dugong's entirely different appearance and habits.
So that they both look and behave completely different.
Yeah. However, Pfeiffer eventually came to believe that the Vio was a traditional memory of the armored horses ridden by early Portuguese explorers. Marez originally assumed that Pfeiffer's description referred to the Komodo dragon, which was found on Rinsa, but which is locally distinguished from the Vio. He's like, my friend meant a Komodo dragon, even though, you know, these people know what a Komodo dragon is.
Yeah, we have a whole reserve named after them.
Schuker notes that both descriptions of the Vio are strongly suggestive of a giant pangolin, even the largest modern species of which do not approach the size of the Vio. However, Marez pointed to the existence of a similarly sized giant pangolin in the greater Sunda Islands of Borneo and Java during the Pleistocene era. He suggested that M. paleojavinsa, or an even larger relative, could have existed on the lesser Sunda Islands, including Rinsa, at some point, and some could have survived into the present.
I mean, it's always possible, you know. That's the thing that's so interesting about the Homo floresiensis, I think that's the hobbits, right?
Yeah.
Which are, like, also from these, like, this region, that, like, the locals talked about them for, like, forever, and nobody thought they were real, and then, like, they found their bones, and, like, I don't know, the thing that's interesting to me is it would seem like maybe they never coexisted, but, like, why would they talk about it?
Yeah.
Like, if they're primitive peoples and they just, like, randomly found, like, a small skeleton, they would just think it was, like, a child skeleton, a thing they no doubt were familiar with. Although, in this case, I guess, if you found, like, giant pangolin bowls, giant pangolin bones, not their dishes, you might be able to say, yeah, like, we eat pangolins, and, like, this is clearly what comes out of them when we eat them, so I guess there's big ones. And then somebody just lies and says they saw a big one. So I guess I could see that.
So the Vio is also in that book that I used last week.
Oh, so it's got a baby picture.
It
does. You gonna post the baby picture?
You know, I will. I'll take a photo of it. But like last time, this book, it just references other books.
It's not great.
In his book, The Beasts That Hide from Man, Seeking the World's Last Undiscovered Animals, Carl Schuker writes that the Vio lives on the southeast island of Rintja, completely spelled differently in this book. He groups the Vio with Stegosaurus, Ankylosaurus, and other armored dinosaurs because like its smaller modern counterpart, it's covered in protective plates. If this cryptid turns out to be real, it may be a rare population of prehistoric, and then the Manus, Paleo, whatever, that escaped extinction, but very little physical evidence suggests a population really exists.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I also, like, I don't completely disagree with that, like, I mean, think about this chain of events, right? Like, you've eaten a pangolin, okay? And then you find the bones of a like, bigger pangolin. And then the Portuguese show up, and they're riding armored horses, and you don't see them that clearly, and then get hit in the face. And then you wake up a week later and are like, I saw a giant pangolin and a man riding it. Like, that's not completely unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's also not completely unreasonable.
I think that they'd talk more about people riding them if it was a cultural memory of the Portuguese.
That might be true. It's their anti-Portuguese racism. They're trying to downplay it. And they've buried the secret that the Portuguese have pangolin equestrianism. They don't want to give them that much credit.
Yeah.
That would make them too powerful.
So if it was,
he might be right.
Can the Vio beat a hippo?
No. Well, I didn't hear you describe its ability to roll up into a ball, so I gotta say no. It's a firm no. I mean, it does have massive claws and be 10 feet long, so that's pretty cool. And it's got armor plates, so, you know, maybe. I don't know, this actually is kind of a, you know, for a creature with no literal magic powers, it's actually kind of a close one. All right,
let me look up a pangolin and just scale it up.
It'll be a draw. He will not kill. I don't want to believe it.
Game, recognize game.
I'm hoping.
I mean, come on, though, Alan. These pangolins, they eat truncos. They eat lobsters, so, you know.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot they are my enemy now.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if we can go for it.
Diet exclusively of truncos.
They existed for a brief moment. millennia of evolution led up to this very moment.
Well, lions can't eat them once they're all in their ball.
Okay.
Yeah, like there's a bunch. There's a penguin rolled up in a ball, and these lions are like, oh, fucking. There's one that's just lying down, giving up on it.
Is the throwing the temper tantrum? Right. So my food's too difficult.
Let me look up the size.
I mean, having
of
heard that
claws.
Now, I definitely think a 10-foot long creature rolled up into a ball. That's too big for Hippo Mouth. Like, I know it can open its mouth, you know, completely horizontally, but come on.
Yeah, we only have to scale it up, like, times three of like the largest regular pangolin. So I'm looking for how long pangolin claws are.
Like a good 2-footer. You scale it up.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's got the hippo's number, honestly.
Should he decide to.
I was unsure at first, and now, you know, I think he's got it.
They can dig through, regular ones can dig through ground as hard as concrete.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm thinking we're in.
Yeah. I'm gonna go, yeah, the VO. Yeah, the VO could definitely beat a hippo.
Well, now the hippo's got its work cut out for it. It's finally been handed a loss.
Oh, it'd be so cool if, I know it's not, but there's a tree pangolin with prehensile tails.
There's a tree pangolin?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I had no idea such a thing exists.
Man, this thing looks so cool. I love the pangolin. It looks right out of Monster Hunter.
I agree, it does.
Especially when it's all rolled up.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it would have a lot of scoots.
I'm trying to get a ruby. Stop giving me scoots. Yep. All right. Plug recommendations.
I had one in my brain. No, I know what it is. I'm plugging a YouTube video called Music to Become a Relaxed Cube 2. Or a Restful Cube 2. It's some really interesting, like, atmospheric ambient style music. One comment described it as something like the PS2 startup sound slowed down. And I like it a lot. And the creator has some funny animations about a roommate who is a restful cube that needs to find a job. So that's my plug recommendation. Music to Become a Restful Cube 2. I actually did post it in the chat.
All right.
So it's there. People should check it out.
Alan?
Oh, boy. For the third week in a row. No. I will.
Twin Peaks, the return.
Let's go. Third week in a row. So I designed... I'm personally designed the AST is now going to be a real synth for the real world. And I took everything I could not to name one of the panels Mr. Jackpot. That's third or fourth episode in.
I'm going to start watching it today.
Okay. Again, there's all this David Lynch garbage you got to get through. Not garbage, but you know, there's all this stuff in the first two episodes that are not this. But by third or fourth episode, I think it's the fourth one. He wakes up in Vegas and he sees the magic of the slot machine, and this audio just plays in my head all the time. But yeah, he becomes Mr. Jackpots, and I did not name my synth Mr. Jackpots. But it almost happened.
I can't wait. I started listening to a Vampire the Masquerade podcast.
Oh my god.
It's really funny. It's called Blood and Syrup. It's about two or three for like freshly turned, like, days old vampires sent to Montreal to take it over.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I have like two more episodes till I'm finished with the first season. It's really fucking funny. And I'm very picky about my tabletop podcasts, and this one got through my very strict filters.
I like the dad's one. That was pretty good.
Yes, Dungeons and Daddies. They're on break right now. They're on their third campaign where, I think not even their third full campaign. I think it's just they're playing Call of Cthulhu, and the characters are wild.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that John Hodgman apocalypse thing? I was telling my friend about that, but I couldn't remember.
Oh, he had a comedy special called Ragnarok that was on Netflix, but it got taken off when they put up Thor Ragnarok.
Oh.
But it's also, He has three books, and the one that's about the end of the world is called, one second, I have it on my bookshelf. I don't remember
this
the name.
This is your day in something, and I forgot.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember what it's called, but yes. Have seen. I seen it.
Dogstorm.
Yes, Dogstorm. So last night, me and Daniel and Esteban, we watched an incredible movie.
It's called That Is All. It's his third in his series of fake almanacs. And the...
Wait, what's the... Is that the one we were listening to? Like years ago?
Each of them comes with a audio, or the audio book versions come with an audio page a day calendar.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one was, the one that was in this one is Today in the Future.
Okay. Yes. That is the one we were listening to.
Yeah. With, all of the big dog robots from Boston Dynamics becoming a hive mind dog storm.
Yeah.
Led by the presidents from the Hall of Presidents in Disneyland. Yeah,
that's what it was.
And Stephen
they
King
become self-aware.
Is wandering the blasted countryside, adding to the stand and reading it to all those he comes across.
Yep.
The second book has Today in the Past, and the first book just has a list of like 1,000 hobo names.
1,000 hobo names.
Yeah. These are the best. Like, the audiobooks for these are the best, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the movie. Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I got so caught up in waiting for Garrett to read the book that I was trying to fill.
The
air.
All of those are. No, I was getting the book.
That's okay.
No, what movie did you and Esteban and Maha watch?
We watched The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension.
Fuck yes.
Because it leaves Prime in 8 days.
Oh, good thing I got that DVD.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I gave my dad the Blu-ray for Christmas.
Oh,
and
while
it's a classic.
Here, someone shamed me the other day, and I deserved it.
Whoa.
I'll be the judge of that. Tell me what happened.
We were talking about Buckaroo Banzai, and I'm like, oh, I have it on DVD, and someone's like, not on Laserdisc?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point, actually. You should probably try to get that Laserdisc.
Yeah, so I'm Googling it right now to see if... Okay.
Probably like $40.
The cheapest I'm seeing is $59.99. No barcode. Here's one for $100.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty surprising. But, I mean, at least we know it exists, so an eye can be kept out for it.
Yeah, I need to go to... Yeah, the Blu-ray's $20, and the cheapest Buckaroo Bonds I'm finding on Laserdisc is like $59.99. I need to go to Amoeba and just dig through their Laserdiscs.
Yeah, I still have a few Blu-rays that I really want to pick up before they get more scarce. I want to pick up Cat People on Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to pick up Pale Blood on Blu-ray. Because I don't think that's on Prime anymore, and I actually really want to watch it again. If you're anybody listening to this, if you're a Wings Hauser fan, as I know I am, you should check out Pale Blood. It's one of those weird, like, Alan, you're aware of the sort of the like VHS exists, and so like its availability becomes a plot device in movie making.
Yes, yes.
And like this, that like that is an element of this movie. And I always say I think it's directed. I can't remember if it was written and directed by a Japanese man or a Korean man, but it was one of those, and then made in Canada about a vampire hiring a private detective to track down a fake vampire.
Oh, wow! It's Wings.
And it's got Wings Hauser in it as a modern artist making like VHS films.
Wow. Okay. This is
I really like the movie. It's not super exciting, but it's interesting, and I like the way it's filmed, and it's also kind of bad, but it's also interesting. You know, it's worth checking out. That's all I'm saying.
Sounds good.
Well, everyone buy it before Shefton can.
Now yeah, I guess that's true. Pick up all the blue. Hey, look, I got the Night Feeder Blu-ray before it disappeared. All right. And if they ever make a Lycan Colony Blu-ray, I'm buying all those.
Before I end this podcast, Shefton. We still need to watch season 3 of Stargirl.
We do still need to finish watching Stargirl.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. We will soon / eventually.
Pick a Sunday. That's my day off that you're off.
Okay. Okay. We'll pick a Sunday.
And I'll Maha watch it with us like we did season 2.
I'll take the train out.
I was saying
I don't even think we actually got all the way through season 2.
Oh, we might not have.
I think we got like almost all the way through, and then we got really hungry, and then we just didn't have time.
Yeah. Anywho, remember, all you need to do to be a cryptozoologist is to say you're a cryptozoologist.
Yoo-hoo.